I want to pursue a little bit more about this issue of accurate utilization of chemotherapy. I want to turn to Mel, actually, to get your perception of the medical oncology world. You have a really strong interdisciplinary team at your place. And I'm curious, looking back over the last 3, 4, 5 years as we see this thing play out, how it's actually affecting clinical decisions. Do you think that more women are avoiding chemotherapy? Maybe patients like this? I mean, if she had seen those numbers that she'd had a high recurrence score, she might have ended up taking chemotherapy. As you sort of take a step back and look at the oncologists across the hall for these node-negative patients, how do you think it's shaking out in practice?
Well, I think in the real world, when the medical oncologist gets most of these patients, there's very few reasons why they don't want to treat them. And from my surgical perspective, I answered the initial question with one, that there was a fair amount of over-treatment by the medical oncologist for these node-negative patients. So I'm very happy to see a test like Oncotype DX come along that we can use and then say, you know what, this patient has a low score. There's really no reason to treat this patient.
Like this lady here, 1 centimeter, ER positive, pre-Oncotype, Chuck, I'm saying she's going to get chemotherapy in this country.
It would have been recommended.
Recommended, yeah. Yes, recommended. Maybe she would have turned it down. Actually, I think, Hope, there was a study done in Denver in a practice setting. It was U.S. Oncology, where they showed about 1 out of 4 times the test was ordered, it actually changed what they would have done otherwise. What's your experience with it?
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting because that survey, which, you know, was looking at utilization of the test when it was quite new, showed a relatively small number of patients whose treatment changed because of the test. I actually think that it's probably more like 50% now would be my guess. And I think we're going to see more data on that from a study that'll be presented at ASCO. Because I think that there's more acceptance. In the early days of the test, we would send it and we had 10 tests for free in the very beginning before the insurers were paying for anything. And people just wanted to know, but it actually didn't influence their decisions as much as now, where we really make a prospective plan, and I find that the test is even more useful relatively in women who have stage 1C tumors, grade 2, where we would have reflexly given chemotherapy, and now I do avoid it in about 50% of the women.
David?
You know, I just comment, in that trial from Denver that was done by Ruth Oratz, the interesting point to me was that the number of patients whose therapy changed really was dramatically higher in terms of what the therapy ultimately received was versus what the medical oncologist recommended even after the Oncotype. And I think that's important. It has implications for a surgical audience. I think it's very worthwhile for surgeons to consider utilizing tests like this to help prepare the patient and explain to the patient what their risk is. And if we're all concerned about some overutilization of cytotoxic therapy, I think it helps for the patient to be brought into that loop a little bit sooner.